going to be sharing on trust. Trust. As you know, we are at the end of this year, we're going to be going through a transition. Pastor Graham and Pastor Gina are going to be stepping down from senior ministry, stepping down from leading this church, and it's going to be very different. And a few weeks ago, I was really pondering this and thinking about it, and it really got me thinking about all sorts of things, as I'm sure some of you in this building will have started thinking as well. Some of the things you may have been thinking about might be things like, what is it going to look like? What would it be like when they've transitioned? Who will the new pastors be? What will it look like? Will we do a new paint job or rearrange the furniture or all sorts of stuff? What will the new pastors be like? Will they like me? Will I like them? And we can think about all of these things. These are all relevant things that we will think about during a time of transition. What will I be doing in the church? Will I be doing anything? Or will I let someone else do something? Will I step down and will someone else step up? Will I be stretched or will I crumble? And these are all relevant things that we think about in a time of transition. You may have some other anxious thoughts around this. For some of you, it could be a really scary thing about what's about to happen for us as a church community. Some of you, I know, have been in this church for a long time and you've seen a few transitions happen over the years. I know, Judith, you would have seen quite a few transitions of leadership as you've been planted here at this church, the Assemblies of God here in Upper Hutt. And sometimes we can get a little bit anxious about those things. And I just really felt like maybe God wanted to just share with us to trust him, to just trust him in the process. That for some of us, we might be getting stretched. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to be stretched. It's a good thing for us to develop our gifts and talents. It's a good thing for us to rely on God more for his provision. It's a good thing for us to have questions, but not let those questions worry us and know that God is in control. Know that we can trust in God and know that his plan is good. For me, it's been like this really still voice. And I ask questions a lot about all sorts of things. I quite often, Lord, what was that about? And I have those moments. But I've learned over the years that actually some things are just best left to him. And that I don't need to carry that weight. I don't need to carry that whatever it is that I'm thinking about. I don't need to carry the heaviness of what that could cause for me as far as worry goes or anxiety goes. And I just get a sense that God wants us to just trust him. And you probably haven't heard much about what's happening because nothing's happening at the moment. God is doing the work in the background. He's doing what he needs to do behind the scenes. And at the right time, something will be revealed. At the right time, something will transition, something will change. But for now, God is just doing the work in the background. So be still and know that he is God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This has always been one of my rocks, I suppose, as far as scripture goes. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And I think for all of us who carry this as a rock, a scripture that is like a foundational scripture to go back, you will know that when we put our trust in God, it's like that weight of the worry, the weight of anxiety, we don't have to carry that. Because it's in his hands, and when we acknowledge him and when we lean on his own understanding and not our own understanding, it makes life so much simpler. It's almost like drama free. if, you know, maybe sometimes people didn't exist in some of those circles, it would be completely drama-free. But I'm going to just kind of talk a little bit about the difference between faith and trust, just a little bit, because there's not a huge difference when it comes down to it. And if we go to the next slide, faith and trust. In the context of Christianity, faith and trust often get used interchangeably, and they often become the same meaning. There's a good reason for that. While they are very connected to one another, in the context of our walk with Christ, they go hand in hand. They're almost inseparable apart from us in the context of faith and trust. So they go together, but they can be separate in our walk, if that makes sense. So they're distinct in their own meanings, but they don't always have to be in operation together. Does that make sense? And often we don't carry both of them together. The faith in the New Testament is, New Testament's written in Greek, so we have a different meaning for faith here. So we have actually three different types of meanings for faith in the New Testament. So the Greek word pistis is a trust in someone or something, or the noun. The adjective pistos is trusting, as in trusting a person, and the verb pistuo literally means I trust. So faith, in the context of the New Testament and how it was written in Greek, literally means trust. So that's why we get this interchangeable trust and faith thing. However, when we encounter the Old Testament, or the First Testament, as Ray Moxham likes to call it, we have a different, completely different meaning. The sages of Judaism thought a lot about faith and trust, making a clear distinction. Generally speaking, they say that faith, emuna, is the knowledge that God created and sustains all creation. So if we look at faith from that context, when we come into faith, we come into the knowledge that God created and sustains all creation. Faith. So this is known as one of the first of the 13 principles of Jewish faith. I believe by complete faith that the Creator, blessed be his name, is the creator and guide for all created beings. He alone made, makes, and will make all that is created. And this is written by the Ramban and an influential Jewish sage from the Middle Ages. So this is kind of like the way that they think about faith. In the second slide we have here, trust. Trust, on the other hand, is a little bit more in depth. So batach is the Hebrew root word for trust, meaning to trust. It is confidence, reliance or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, or other sound principle of another person, or in this particular context here, it is God. So the confidence, reliance, or resting of the mind on the integrity, veracity, justice, friendship, sound principle of God. That's kind of like the gutsy version of it. But I want to kind of focus a little bit more on bitachon, which is acting in accordance with one's emuna, or one's faith, and knowing that underlying our actions is the rock, our Heavenly Father, who has our best interests at heart, no matter what happens. It is acting in accordance with one's faith. So one's knowledge that God created and sustains all of creation, and knowing that underlying our actions, is the rock, or is God, who is the God that created and sustains all of creation, who has our best interests at heart, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. So there's a real heaviness, actually, it's weighty, isn't it? Bitachon is weighty. Trust in God is weighty. It's not just simply faith. I believe that God created all creation and that he sustains all of creation. Our trust, our bitachon in that is actually gutsier, and it's acting in accordance with that faith. It's an action. It is a doing. It is a deliberate thing that we do in accordance with our faith. And so this is what I'm sort of trying to share with you this morning, is that we can have faith and know and believe the knowledge that God created and sustains all of creation, but we don't necessarily have bitachon or trust. The action of what we believe, or that faith that we hold. We can do this interchangeably with anything. We can trust God and carry that we believe in some areas, but we don't necessarily do that in everything. And so I suppose I'm going to challenge us this morning to have that in our lives, that thinking, that mindset of this, that no matter what happens. I don't know if you've ever noticed how some people who are really grounded in their faith, as it may seem, crumble when something bad happens. Have you ever experienced that? Maybe you've experienced it yourself. You've hit a wall and you just crumble. And it's like here in that moment is where we haven't got that trust, or we haven't developed that trust. And so we need to start stepping into that. A master of trust, as the Jewish sages say, understands that there are no personal guarantees of a positive outcome in any situation. Even though the world is full of evil, hatred, injustice, and betrayals, a master of trust, or a master of bitachon, understands that regardless of the short-term outcome, the final outcome of our efforts will be positive, because through God, all things are done for good. So what that means is, you might encourage someone to trust in the Lord with all their heart, but unless they are confident in God's goodness and in his character and his working all things together for good for those who love him and know him and are called by his purpose, unless they really, really, really get that and understand that and are confident in that, they will not be able to trust him completely when things go wrong. And for us to be able to be strong in our faith, we also need to be strong in bitachon, trust. Because the day that something goes wrong for you and I, and we don't have that trust, that bitachon trust, could be the day that we walk away from Emunah, believing that God creates and sustains all things. So we need to develop that. We need to plow the ground. We need to till that. We need to constantly be working in our lives to develop that so that it's really strong and stable. Trusting that God is in charge of the ultimate outcome and not ourselves or anyone else will cure your anxiety. and cure your worry straight away. Because you have this mindset like Paul did. You know, though he was, he was beaten, he was thrown in jail and imprisoned many, many times. He was abused in all sorts of horrific ways. You know, there were shipwrecks, there was all sorts of trials and suffering that Paul went through in the name of Jesus. But nothing could pull Paul away from his faith, not even the threat of death, because his thought was, if I die, Messiah will be exalted. And if I live, Messiah will be exalted. So he didn't look at his circumstances and go, oh my goodness, I'm in prison, woe is me. I have lost my faith. My God, who can supply all my needs, has stopped supplying me with the need to be free from this prison. No, Paul did not do that. He actually said, okay, here I am. This is what it is. I still trust God, because in the end, his plan, his purpose, his goodwill is going to work out no matter what happens. And so we've got to not get hung up on whatever heartache, whatever hurt, whatever brokenness, whatever offense, whatever thing that it is. Maybe it's grief, maybe it's a breakup, maybe it's someone leaving. Whatever that is, we've got to get to a place in our life where we're not hung up on that and weigh that as, oh, well, God's not good because this happened. Because, see, God is good. He's good beyond what we understand. And that's why when we understand that he is good, when we understand his character, when we understand who he is, then it doesn't matter what happens in this world. I mean, a lot of Christians could have gone, oh, my goodness, COVID hit. That's it. I'm tapping out. I'm tapping out. It's lockdown. I can't do anything. I'm having lack of social anxiety because I can't be social with people. I can't get near people. I can't hug people. Oh, that's it. I'm tapping out. You know, we could have done that. But see, we have trust that even though something bad happened and will keep happening, there's going to be lots of bad stuff that's going to continue to happen in our world, even though all these bad things are happening. And I know some of you have lost family and friends, and family and friends of people you know through some of the stuff that's happened in the last, 12 months. But it doesn't stop our faith, and it doesn't stop our trusting in God. See, we sang a song this morning, and we actually sang quite a lot of songs that relate to what I'm talking about, and I will not be shaken. I will not be shaken. That is bitachon, that is trust. That when something bad happens, we don't go, oh, that's it, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do Christianity because, that bad thing happened. You know what? If I had a thought like that early on in my Christian walk, you would not see me in this building at all. In fact, you wouldn't see some of the other people in this building because I had an influence in their life as well. Some people would have left ages ago. But we have to have this trust that no matter what, even if it's not comfortable for us, even if we don't like it, even if it's horrible, evil deeds that are happening like there are all over the world, I mean, some of us might have to go off grid, but it doesn't mean we stop being faithful and not trusting in God. Bitachon, trust in times of trouble. In times of trouble, we are called to cry out to him. It doesn't mean that we don't believe that he's got a good plan on the other side of that. It doesn't mean that we don't believe that the situation that we're in is, obviously, it's a bad situation when you're in a time of trouble. We're not going to lie. We're not going to be like, oh, it's all good. I'm good. Sweet as, my house just blew up and my car got, you know, demolished by a lamppost or whatever. But it's all good. I'm good. I'm good. I mean, yeah, we might be, I mean, I would probably be like, yeah, I'm good. Because I'm like, yeah, that's just a material thing. We have insurance for those things. But we also have a greater insurance. And that's why we can cry out to God. When we're faced with roadblocks and we can't figure out a way ahead, we can cry out to God. King David did it. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. Psalm 118:6. You know, when King David's family and friends and people in his kingdom turned against him, he found someone who would not let him down. He turned to God. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Judaism teaches that when a person is in trouble, his efforts need to be those that honor God. Well, that's challenging. When was the last time you had a situation and it really challenged you? You were in a time of trouble. And the first thing you thought of was, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I will worship you, the Lord my God, and all things. Thank you, Father God, that you've provided me with all the goodness that you've given me, all these things that you've given me, all the stuff that you've done for me. How many of us went and did that when we had something really horrific happen? The only one I can think of who's done that really is Job. Because even in his devastation, even in all of his suffering, even in everything, he still worshipped God. This is the kind, I don't know about you, I'm probably not there yet. I'd love to be there, but I'm not there. But this is the kind of trust that I want to have in God, is that, you know, at the end of it, not being like, oh, I hate this, this is stink, this is horrible, why did this happen? No, but that my first reaction would be, I worship you, God. I praise you, Lord. And Judaism teaches that we call for prayer. We lift up our voice to the heavens. We do good deeds even, thus declaring that God is sovereign, even in whatever horrible situation we might be going through, even despite our bad news. Bitachon for life, the awareness of God's sovereignty, it brings us an appreciation for life and living in the moment, a gratitude for the big things and the simple things. To trust God in a place where we love our life even if something happens. We love that God is there in the midst of that. We have an appreciation for all things living. We have an appreciation and a gratitude for not just the big things. You know, like when a miracle happens or something, or God provides you with a new fridge or a new washing machine or a house. You know, that's easy to appreciate God for. But what about just waking up in the morning and feeling the sun on your face? Let's just appreciate even for the little things. And so this is that trust, trusting that God is going to have good things for us that don't necessarily have to be the miraculous and the amazing, but good things and the little things. But having that awareness and that appreciation for those things is part of trusting in God. Trusting in God despite devastation and despite evil and despite horrible things. You know, Israel has an amazing ability to pick themselves up, to move on and keep moving with hope and joy, despite the most horrible, evil things that have happened to them. Yes, they remember those things that are horrible and evil, but they don't live in those things. They actually live in the knowing and the hope of that original statement about trust, which is, I live by complete faith that the Creator, blessed His name, is the Creator and guide of all created things, that He alone makes and will make all that is created. It is that confidence and reliance and resting of the mind and integrity veracity, justice, friendship, and that sound principle. You know, this is how they think about life. It's not like, oh, I'm going to think about this like this is a bad thing, this happened to me, so I'm going to be miserable. That's not their mindset around this. Their mindset is, this is just something that has happened. However, I trust God because all things work together for good. And it might not be good right now, but his good plan and purpose far out exceeds eternally what I am suffering here temporarily. And it's that understanding that they carry. It's that understanding that belongs, everything belongs to God, and therefore we can't assume that anything that even belongs to us, including our own lives. So everything belongs to God. It's all in his hands. Bitachon as a blessing. Bitachon can also mean, well, I don't know what happened to that slide, security. Therefore, as we trust in him, we are secure in him. Therefore, we are blessed. When you have a security in God, you are blessed. See, I don't worry about what tomorrow will bring because I have security in God right here and now. I trust in him and the process that whatever is going on, whether it's a transition of senior leadership in the natural, you know, that he's got everything secure and in control, and that I don't have to worry about that. It's actually really good when someone else is responsible for a lot more than we need to be responsible for, isn't it? If your security is in the Lord, you are blessed. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man, or the one, who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. That is bitachon. That is trust. That we would be like a tree planted by the water. That we would send out our roots by the stream and drink it all up. That we would be nourished and grow and be fruitful, that we wouldn't be fearful when there's a drought or when bad things happen, that our leaves would always be green, that we would not be worried about it, we would not be worried about anything, and that we would never fail to bear fruit. When we trust in God, when we have that sustenance in him, when we don't just believe he is who he says he is, but we act out in our life who he is, who he says he is. That makes sense. Tommy, can you go to that picture of the tightrope? Here's probably a better way to describe faith and trust hand in hand. So there was a story years ago about a man named Charles Blondin. Some of you will know the story. You've heard it. You've probably, none of you were alive, thank goodness, when it happened. You'd be very old. So Charles Blondin and Henry Colcord have this amazing story. Blondin was the foremost tightrope walker of his time. In 1859, he was the first person to cross Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Colcord was his friend and manager, and this cable was entirely made out of hemp, which was like technology before its time. We know that loads of clothes and all sorts of things are being made with hemp now, but back then it was probably a new kind of thinking. So it was entirely made of hemp. It was 1,300 feet long and 2 inches in diameter. It was wound around an oak tree on the American side, while the other end was ferried across the Niagara River and secured to a Canadian rock. to limit it from swaying, coil-cord stabilized guy ropes fixed at 20-foot intervals to anchor on both banks, except for the 50 unreachable feet in the center. Scary. And this part sagged and swayed dangerously. Thanks to Colcord's savvy marketing, tens of thousands of spectators gathered for the spectacle. Gamblers took bets on whether Blondin would fall and die. Very optimistic people they were. And vendors hawked everything from lemonade to liquor, because it was a great time to make a buck. Shortly before 5 p.m. on June the 30th, 1859, Blondin started his slow walk from the American side. Once past the center section, he broke into a run. After a brief rest, he started back again, but this time toting a camera on his back. Balancing precariously near the middle, Blondin carefully set up the camera and snapped a picture of the crowd. I kid you not. Thousands of people witnessed this, and it was very big media back in the day. Social media would have been like, ruined the internet. Once safely back on American soil, Blondin immediately announced a series of encore performances. So once was not enough for this guy. We're going to do this again. And of course, everyone ate it up, and you know, they keep returning. So several weeks, Blondin walked backwards, blindfolded, backflipped, pushed a wheelbarrow, and get this for you guys who like eggs, he even cooked an omelette during one of the many trips across the rope. He had faith that he could accomplish these feats. But he also trusted in his abilities to complete them. The spectators, on the other hand, only had faith, a difference between them and him, because none of them had to trust that that tightrope was going to work, that his skills were going to work, because they were not actually outworking that themselves. So in 1959, after he had crossed to the Canadian side, the crowd was horrified as he appeared on the rope again with his manager, Harry Colcord, clinging to his back. A few guy ropes snapped during their transition. Talk about a freak out. But Blondin never wavered and safely made the crossing. It was later reported that Blondin told his manager, "Look up, Harry. You are no longer Colcord, you are Blondin. Until I clear this place, be a part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Do not attempt to do any balancing yourself." This is the difference between faith and trust. The spectators had faith that Blondin and believed that his abilities could get him across. But only Colcord trusted him enough to climb on his back and allow him to carry him across. So we have this very different application of trust. So we can have our faith and trust in our own abilities, and we can know that we have our own abilities and we can do all these things. But when we partner that with trusting in God and we step out on the back of Blondin and trust in his abilities, if Blondin was God and you jumped on his back and went across that tightrope, that's the picture we should be seeing. That's the picture that we should be sort of walking on with our trust in God, is that we can have faith in him, but it's not until you jump on his back and allow him to carry you and allow him to walk you through. That's trust. That's bitachon. That's a weightier trust than just knowing that God has that ability to do it. And so I want to encourage us this morning to have faith and trust like Blondin and Colcord, that we would have that absolute confidence to climb on the back and to go across the tightrope, whatever that situation is. And I'm just going to close because my time's up. But